It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. Welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show, where we are the Knowledge Station. And boy, do we have an amazing gift for all of you today. You know, Dr. Champagne has had a lot of secrets up her sleeves for us as we're nearing into December. And today is part one of a special, special gift to you. It's a gift for you, your legacy, your entire family. It's the gift of knowledge, baby girl, even if you didn't go to college. So today's topic is all about retiring, whether it's in Japan, in the United States, or in Indonesia. This sister has got a plan locked down for success. So please grab your pen and paper because, honey, that's what I'm doing. Queen Sunny Honey in the house with Dr. Champagne Odin. Good morning, Dr. Champagne.
Good morning to you all.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. How was your week this week?
My week has been great. I'm just recovering because last week I was with Honey Bunny. So I was just spending him and I and baby Charlie, my guinea pig, were spending time last week together.
Oh, yes. Family bonding. Love it. Tell us, the people, what has inspired today's topic for retiring worldwide?
Well, thank you so much. I like to think that my platform is very simple. I give people four steps to come to Japan and get an English teaching job and then transition into having your own business, becoming self-employed like myself, and then leaving a legacy of money and game, but more so money, for your future generations. And I also listen to TBA, Jason Black, the Black Authority or the Business. And he was talking about retirement. And he said that there was a PBS special called The Retirement Gamble. And I went and watched it. It's 53 minutes and it's on YouTube. The Retirement Gamble. Super good. To make a long story short, the PBS special, it showed, you know, different people talking about retirement, and they were saying how, oh, they created the 401k, but honestly, the 401k in their, and this is not their opinion, this is just a fact, that the 401k is not going to get you to retirement because the 401k wasn't designed for you. It was really designed for, Exxon, one of those, it was designed for one company people. Their name is forgetting me right now. But then it became a national thing in the U.S. But nonetheless, it doesn't work because they're mutual funds. And mutual funds, similar to the funds that I have as well, they require you having a manager. And the manager does take fees. Now, my mutual funds fees are not that expensive. And plus, I'm not cashing out until 15 more years. My funds are not that expensive. But these funds, I mean, they were taking like almost 30%, you know, of your overall take. That's a lot of money. So when I watched it, I was like, wow. And it also said, you know, the people in the video, how you really need $2 million to retire. So then I was like, wow. And then also I did research on retiring in Japan. You need $2 million here. And I said, okay, what else we got? So then I went to, you know, research up places to retire in Asia. You need about $1 million to retire in Indonesia. So that's what really motivated me to have this show with you.
Ooh, for the people who are already robbing Peter to pay Paul, how does one get started on a retirement plan? Take us through the ages for our 20s, our 30s.
Oh, yeah, girl, I got it. I'm hyped. Okay, so what I did is that I did really three plans. I did one for 20-year-olds, one for 30-year-olds, and then one's for 40-year-olds, so like myself. Because I think, like, I've been investing heavily since 30, but I wish I would have started in my 20s because I would have had, you know, a lot more. But, you know, it don't matter. You start when you start. But how about we start with the 20s? Now, this is the way to get $2 million. And guys, this, you can't argue with me on this. This is math. You can't argue with math. It's either right or it's wrong. Okay? So 20 year olds who are investing for 45 years. So that means you should retire when you're 65, okay? All right, so if you retire for 45 years, starting at the age of 20, that's 2 million divided by 45 years, which is about $44,444 per year. That's how much you need to save each year, okay, for 45 years. Now, $44,444 divided by two people. So now I'm basing this on you being married, okay? So you might want to think about getting married. One salary, shout out to TBA, Jason Black, is better than is not better than two salaries for women, especially. You need your backup.
Okay.
So $44,444 divided by two people is $22,222 per one person. So let's say you need about $22,000 if you're half of a married couple per year to save on your own, right? Now, $22,222 for one person divided by 12 months is $1,851 for one person. So that's about $1,800. That's doable. I think that's doable. Now, let's say if you don't do that, let's say if you get married when you're 30 and then you guys start saving. So now, 2 million divided by 35 years, because 30 plus 35 is 65, per year you need to save $57,142 per year. Okay, $57,142 divided by two people, if you're married, is $28,571 for one person. Okay, $28,571 divided by 12 months is $2,380, so about $2,300 a month you would need to save if you start at 30 and you're married and you're paying half of this, you're saving half of that. Okay, now for people who are in their 40s like myself, you have 25 years until you retire, which is 65. All right, so let me look at this. Okay, so 2 million divided by 25 years equals 80,000 per year to invest and save. 80,000 per year to invest and save divided by two people equals 40,000 for each person if you're married. 40,000 for each person if you're married divided by 12 months is 3,333. So you guys are seeing the pattern. If you're 20 and you're married, each partner would save 1,800 every month. If you're 30 and you're married, each partner will save $2,300 if you're like every month. If you're 40, you need $3,333 per month for each partner. Now, that is, I know that's probably not the easiest thing to do, but it is what it is. This is not me saying it. This is the number saying it. Now, guys, please go back and check the numbers. If you think I'm off, that's fine. Let us know. Now, I understand that 2 million is a lot to save. Even like, you know, for me, it's really not that big of a deal. But I'm talking about for other people who are not crazy and obsessive and super cheap and like save everything like myself. Now, if you don't want to retire in Japan or the U.S., Indonesia, you're allowed to retire there when you're 55 years old. But you might want to wait till you're 65 just so you can have a little bit more cash. So then I said, okay, let's divide 2 million into half. Okay, so that's 1 million. Okay, that's doable. That's doable. Now, if you take, if you're 20 years old, you want 1 million to be invested by the time you're 65. That's 45 years divided by, so 1 million divided by 45 years is $22,222. $22,222 divided by two people if you're married is $11,111 for one person of half the marriage. $11,111 divided by 12 months equals $925 per one person who's half of the marriage. If you're 30, you take 1 million divided by 35 years, because 30 plus 35 is 65. That's $28,571 per year that you need to save. $28,571 divided by two people of each of the marriage is $14,287 for one person, which is half of the marriage. $14,285 divided by 12 months is $1,190. So let's say about $1,100 a month. That's really easy. That's so doable. That's really doable. Now, if you're 40, you have 25 years. So 1 million divided by 25 years equals $40,000 to save per year. $40,000 per year divided by two people equals $20,000 for each person to save. $20,000 for each person in a marriage, which is two people, divided by 12 months equals $1,666. So about $1,500, which is also doable. So that is the math. You can either save for America or Japan or some other first world country. You need $2 million. If you want to, you know, go a little more affordable route, save $1 million, you can go to Indonesia.
I got my notes. I hope everybody is taking notes, because to have options is a wonderful thing. This takes me back to my college days where there is a young man that I knew he was going to be a millionaire real quick. And we looked at each other and he said, got to have more than one stream of income. At least most millionaires had multiple streams of income. So for everyone in the audience who's saying, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul right now, think about all your side hustles, your mutual funds, your cryptocurrency, your stocks and investments. Ladies, if you are not in a relationship, ladies and gentlemen, there's still multiple streams of income. There was an article that I read about a group of women in Japan, from Japan. They found a mansion, foreclosed, tax write-off deal, and I don't remember what state, if they were in America, whatever, but it was just this lovely picture of seven Japanese women who got together and said, this is our forever home. So this is really some great information coming from you, Dr. Champagne, because we have groups and groups of friends and supportive ones that you could, everybody could have like 20 companies, e-commerce, all stocks, and sharing the wealth of information. If you find that you're the smartest one in your crew, child, switch it up. What is, why is this so much more important for foundational Black Americans and people of color on the planet to have a retirement plan? Let's talk about it.
Well, I mean, you need a retirement plan because, I mean, we're not our mom's generation or our mother's generation where you can work for a company for 40 years and have a retirement plan. I mean, shout out to my grandfathers and all his brothers. It was like nine of them. They worked because, you know, we're from, well, actually, they're really from Alabama and Georgia, but I'm from Akron. But, you know, we have all the rubber plants there, Firestone, Goodrich, Goodyear. So a lot of my family worked at those plants. Even my father's father worked at the plant. And what's funny, on a side note, my father's father was making so much money that he bought a Cadillac, but he could never drive it close to the plant because, you know, the white boss would get mad and probably fire him. So he had to, like, park it wherever he had to park it and then just walk there. But my point is, that ain't us. So you having a pension, especially in America, I don't think that's going to happen. Social Security, I don't know if that's going to happen. So we, and not just, like, foundational Black Americans, I mean Americans, too. Like, the white people in the PBS special, they were the ones hurting. And I was like, wow, white people don't even have $2 million to survive on? So that really woke me up, too. But specifically Black Americans, we got to be ready. We really do. And even the Africans do as well, because me and my honey bunny, we were talking about that as well.
Girl, talking about Africa, about a year ago, yeah. I was looking on the news at Nigeria, and the retirement plan was just atrocious. At the time, these people, government employees, were getting up every day going to work, salary furloughed, retirement gone. And it just put me in a state of, like, hopelessness to know that people who have the state jobs, just like in America, ooh, you got a government job, you got the most stability, companies can go and come, but these state jobs, that's the golden fleece right there, and to see that although it was no longer the thing, there is no salary coming in, there is no retirement, that these black folks in Nigeria kept getting up every day reporting because that was their governmental duty. And just the limbo of knowing when they asked the authorities, where's the money? It was like, we don't know.
What money?
What money? What you talking about? So the strong hands at the top secretly were taken care of, while the rest of the have-nots are just invested time that they can never get back. And because this happened in
Nigeria, never get back. Like, you can't even sue the government over that.
Thank you. And because this is a possibility for Americans as well. If you're talking about white suffrage and you have never had your reciprocity for your ancestral black suffrage, baby, take notes from Dr. Champagne. This is a whole different chapter of, you know, a lot of these things. Dr. Martin Luther King started talking to us about the civil rights era, when those things were really voting rights for the white women, because black women were already getting theirs through the civil rights, or the simple fact that there were things of the Black Wall Street that were advantageous for us, where the white population was codependent upon our craftsmanship, our skill sets. Well, you know, now that we've just escalated with time, we're looking at the codependency and what it looks like to give away your gifts, to turn on the TV and see your dance moves, all of the entertainment industry, all the sports. You are under someone else's rulage. So financially, the codependent on other groups that you say, hey, I'm the originator of this, but you're the owner of nothing. Daddy used to say the only thing white folks owned was the patent office, and everything else belong to us. So get your stuff together, people. This is a cry out financially. You're talking about wanting to be single and all the independent ladies. How does that road look?
Ladies, I had this conversation with one of my family members who's a woman. And my family member was like, well, this one lady is a nurse, so that's like having two salaries. I said, no, it's not. Just because you make 80, 60, whatever thousand as a nurse, that's one salary. That is not two salaries. Now, if your husband is a nurse and you're a nurse and you're making 60,000 each, that's 120,000. That's better than 60,000. So, ladies, I broke the math down for you. You can try to get it on your own, but good luck with that.
Okay.
Good luck. And also, what you just said about Africa, like Nigeria, like I was talking to Honey Bunny about, and I said, okay, well, I said, I showed him the plan. I was like, so how much do you want to invest? And he was like, oh, what if we did like 100 a month? I was like, dude, I said, okay, let's do the math. I said, listen, if we're 20 and we invest $100 a month for 45 years, that's $52,000 in 65, when we're 65. If we invest $100 a month for 35 years, when we're 30, that's $42,000. If we invest $100 a month for 25 years, when we're 40, that's $30,000. I said, dude, where are you taking $30,000 at? That's a house. I was like, so, you know, I just feel like Africans in general, like he was explaining to me that they see retirement and insurance different than we do. They're like, oh, I have a house, so that's my retirement plan. That's not a retirement plan. That's a house that you probably ain't got insurance on. So if there's a typhoon or something, you're out of a house. Like, that is not insurance. That is a sitting liability, because you got to pay rent, or, I mean, you got to pay whatever utilities, you got to eat. That is not a retirement plan. So, I mean, Africans, I'm shouting out to y'all too. Y'all cannot just think that a house is going to save you. It is not, if you don't have no money coming in. And your kids, because they're being influenced by America, they ain't about to save you either. Because now, you know, the American culture is all, you know, get it like you live, only you. So I wouldn't depend on them either.
Child. And as you age, you might have to pay for what? Medicine every month out of that retirement money. Food every month. Like Dr. Champagne is saying, the escalation in the number of utilities. You don't know what tomorrow's utilities bills is going to look like for your region. of the world, but you know that that's never ever going to go away as long as you're living on the planet.
Uh-huh. That is correct.
One thing about the Middle East, I will say, is it's not retirement friendly. You're not going to stay here. You have an age out factor. You have to leave the country at 65. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, they have quite a few nannies and drivers, people like that who've been in the family for ages, like the way it was systematically in America. So that's their time to go back home. That's the most of the people that I do know who are military here and decided to stay on in contract. They're staying until 65 because of what we have called the indemnity. When you're working for these companies for up to 5 to 10 years, you're starting to get what is the retirement plan, a certain percentage of your salary, whether it's 50%, 30% every year after 5 year mark. And that leaves for some major cash when you're leaving to go back home, when you have your exit strategy. And it keeps you comfortable because while you're living, you're not paying rent, you're not paying utilities because it's all inclusive with your company. And you're able to save that money. So It's a good financial plan for those who are coming to save. But if you're looking at the Middle East as a way of building a family, well, be prepared to pay for tuition coming out of pocket because it's not the free K-12 like we mentioned back in the United States. But if you're coming to stack your paper, speaking of the 20-year-olds, the best story I have to share. When I first arrived at this country, there were 3 black women, 1 from Jamaica, 2 from America. They were best of friends. They came to spend their entire 20s in the Middle East. On the weekends, they would do things like fly to Mount Everest, pop a bottle on top of the tallest mountain, be back at work as school teachers, share Airbnbs around the world, and just really get the world experience by being all inclusive with their girls to save money and stack. They were tutoring after school, doubling their teaching salary, and they lived in a Kuwaiti mansion. Now all of them are back in Georgia. And when I tell you, on their 30th birthdays, for them to meet that mark and for me to know secretly when I look at them on Instagram, these sisters are the pinnacle of an example for you, 20-year-olds, that your financial plan is not a hardship to start this. Whatever aspects of behavior of saving money, they're prepared for their 30s, their 40s, going into retirement because they have a beautiful nest egg set up secretly that no one else in the world knows. None of them are married. But all of them are financially stable and ready to partner up with either their homegirls or the right man.
And also, that's premarital funds as well. So good job, ladies, on having your exit plan.
That's right. Dr. Champagne, before we get up out of here, we still have some time left on this 30-minute episode. We're just 20 minutes in. I want you to take us to the next level of what it means to, what are some of the other aspects that we're missing in the retirement plan? Give us the plug.
Well, a budget. Yeah, actually, you know, I wrote that down. Okay, so when I wanted to break down the retirement fund, it was like, okay, first thing we got to think about is retirement. Second thing is the budget. And the third thing is the kids. And I know it's probably selfish to think about retirement before children, but you have to retire. You don't necessarily have to have kids. You understand me? So, but I think that second part, the budget, will help you know. Well, actually, no, I take this back. Once you set your retirement budget, once you know I want to live in America, Japan, or Indonesia, then you just work backwards. Just use the numbers I gave you, and then you need to do your budget. That means how much you spend on rent, food, clothes, and you need to make sure your retirement is also in that budget, because that's going to be pulling away from your living costs. And then another thing you need to factor in is children. Now, children, like I don't have kids, but like, it, you know, when I have kids in Japan, I'm going to homeschool my children because I don't want my kids to be the only kids in a Japanese school. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Japanese people, but who I teach and who I let teach my kids, that's two different sets of issues that I can, you know what I'm saying, I can separate. But you need to also make sure your kids' budget is in that as well. So those are just some things to think about. Get it, get paper, pen to paper, get off your cell phones and write it down. Write down how much you want for your retirement plan, then write down the budget, and then add kids on that, because all of that should balance out.
Good stuff. Well, you are the person that's having the kids. Me, and 42, I'm not having kids. Matter of fact, part of my retirement plan, let me go and get some more books written about my Arabic population of children so they can be adding to my retirement plan. The book of name of etymology, I would love to leave that legacy. Charge $3,000 for the book. Put it on sale for $600 occasionally. Have all the richest people on the planet saying, I must have this for my children because their name is in the chapters. And she's teaching the etymology and every child to feel like, oh, she's talking about me in this book. Get it how you live. When you got it, I told you these people don't buy it when it's on sale. You bought it when it was less than $3,000. Y'all struggling over there. So having this written down, having these plans, having these stocks, mutual funds, cryptocurrency, NFTs, artwork, buying, investing today, knowing that in 30 days you have some, more than 10 G's. Get into your financial literacy.
That's right. And speaking on financial literacy, I was going to read, I actually bought two ebooks from these English teachers in Japan, these white boys, and they're saying, oh, I'm an English teacher, but I'm going to show you how to invest in Japan. Like, there's these type of pension funds that we can set up. So I'm going to be reading those. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I had a headache. But I'm going to read those and then get back to you guys on those too.
Ooh, yes. And what I love about you, Dr. Champagne, is that element to remind us all, when we're studying the money, if it's not necessarily in our community, grab that blueprint, read it for yourself from the other communities, and then turn around and share the information with our people. That's mastery in itself. It takes me back to being a little girl when white politicians would show up at the church using that big vernacular and the elders would say, baby, what is he talking about? And I was a translator back then, under the guise of just an English language that the people had platformed in a way that was not understandable for common folks. When it comes to financial literacy, you had better learn for yourself to translate to your children, your family members. Why? Because later on, they'll be knocking on your door asking you for a favor. So 'tis better to teach a man how to fish then give them a fish sandwich for a day.
That's true.
Before we leave, Val, what are your final thoughts for us today that will prepare us for our financial literacy journey of retirement?
What I would like you guys to do is just to go over what we just said. Now, I was speaking a little bit quick because I was hype and we only have 30 minutes. But please, right now, don't use your cell phone. Write down on paper what I said and the patterns will start to emerge. Like, I'm a researcher who likes to write stuff. I don't like to use a computer to analyze data because I think the human brain is way better at doing that. So please get out a paper and pen and write it down.
Thank you, Dr. Champagne. And thank you to everyone who tuned into the Caribbean Radio Show today, because we are the Knowledge Station. When you have your plan written out, here's your homework for next Freedom Friday. Tune in to her Instagram, tune in and write Queen Sunny Honey and let us know some of your questions. Give us your feedback. We're all in this together, honey. And until next time, do bye-bye, boo.